This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Generation Fusion. I'm your host Andrew, joined with my co-mum, Mum.
Hi everybody. Wow, what a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're nearly at the end of it.
Mm.
And you finally finished school today.
Well, I finished school 4 weeks ago.
I know, but probably since you became a senior, this is probably the latest you've worked.
Yeah.
You worked right until the last day. Been busy, which is great. So,
well, it's because also in previous years I haven't played in three things. It's only ever been one thing.
That's right. But you've also had a great time going in and catching up.
Yeah. Being treated like an adult.
Yeah. So you went in and you were doing your bit of musicking for the junior graduation. Are they prize giving?
Yeah.
Junior prize giving.
So. I don't get why Te Pumanua calls it a graduation, because it's not a graduation.
Well,
it's a prize giving.
Well, no, there is a graduation, some of the graduating. It's also a celebration for each year as they graduate from one year to the next. It's just a bit of a special thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're here today.
Put your phone on, do not disturb.
Yeah, I bet. Sorry. I've got the social.
Been doing this for 5 years, Mum.
I know, and I still can't handle this. So what are we going to talk about today, Andrew? We've been busy, but there's been nothing. We've been as busy, and there's lots to talk about.
I don't know how you have so much energy, because I'm really tired and have a bad headache.
Well, I think it's just probably called work.
And the voice in my head that happens to be Mum is making the headache worse.
Oh.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, you better be, because
I'm just
here.
Going to dim your mic a little bit.
Oh, thanks. I'm a little too joyful for you, am I?
No, you're just a bit too loud for me.
We had to cancel last week.
Yeah, because my room started to flood.
Yeah, we had we could talk about it. That is something we can talk about.
But we're not. We can briefly touch about it, but it's not a full episode, Mum.
No, I could make it a full episode.
Does it not what we planned to talk
about? No, it's not. That was a sideways. But yes, I thought there was a reason why we couldn't get together last week, and I thought it was real short, and I couldn't remember.
Because we were planning on coming in.
We
but
were.
An hour before, I was like,
We're not coming. Yes, because the plumber hadn't arrived. And I'm sorry, people, but the plumber had to be priority. Andrew didn't want to float away.
No.
It's
not that. I just didn't want more bacteria to form in my room, more mould.
Well, yeah. So, So sorry about that, people, but I don't know if you'll miss that. So, but today we're going to talk about.
I don't know which one we're talking about first.
Well, you can choose. I'll give it over to you.
We're talking about brass bands.
Brass banding, certainly. For a lot of you, as you're aware, we're hitting the Christmas season, and traditionally this is when the brass bands.
Traditionally,
I guess this is when brass bands make a bit of an appearance.
Yeah.
For a lot of you, you might realise that Christmas usually is a major time of the year for brass bands to
fundraising.
And some of
you might not realise that brass bands exist outside of Christmas.
Well, yes, but so it's a major fundraising time of the year for brass bands. They're all not charities, non-profit organisations, that's the one. And we rely heavily on fundraising efforts to get us to places like nationals. And
it's a non-profit, but it is kind of for-profit.
Well, we have to fundraise because we provide instruments.
We rely on donations.
We do.
And membership fees. We're an organisation.
Yes, and we have to provide. One other thing about a brass band is that a brass band actually provides instruments for its players.
Yeah.
And that's always been part of the brass band philosophy, from what I've understood. I'm not from a brass band background. You're probably more brass band than me. And so I find this quite fascinating that it's always been started off for the poorer people, the
labourers,
the coal miners. And there's no way they could have afforded trumpets or cornets or any of these instruments. And so brass bands have always made it that there are instruments available for people to play.
Yeah.
Which I find fascinating.
But that is under the ulterior motive of, since you're using our instrument, you can't go play for other bands. Or, well, you can't not play for us.
It is. It's very much the, and we've given you an instrument, you need to play for us.
Unless you're a guest, you have to pay membership fees.
Yes. So it all makes sense because you can't just, because imagine if someone came along and said, oh yeah, I want to join, I want to play a euphonium, and they take the euphonium and then they go and play somewhere else. And
so you're going to say then they go give it to cash converters, because that's happened before.
Well, those things are being stolen. But it does make sense, and it is quite a foreign philosophy for me because I've come from an orchestral classical background where when you start off, a lot of us did our learning through high school, and we got our instruments from high school.
Yeah.
And so we just joined different orchestras with our high school instruments, or in my case, by about the second year of playing the trumpet, my parents bought me one because they decided that.
That's funny. After the third year of playing tuba, my parents bought me one.
Yeah, that's right. Because if you've been playing it that long, you've got a little bit of a seriousness about what you're doing. I was playing and my instrument was holding me back. I had a Skylark through the school, very cheap Chinese.
Not Japanese, Chinese.
Chinese instrument. It wasn't. There's also a version, I think they're from Taiwanese. I can't remember.
JP?
I don't know. And so it becomes frustrating because things go wrong on them. The valves don't work. The springs stop working. And so that's why I ended up getting an instrument. But once you left high school, if you didn't have your own instrument, basically that was it.
And that's still the case.
And it is still the case. And I feel very much for my sister, who was a cello player. Once she left high school, her cello didn't go with her.
No.
That was it. But if you're in the brass band, once you leave high school, if you're still in the brass band, you've still got your instrument.
Yeah.
And it's part of the brass band's philosophy of making the sounds sound good. They upgrade their instruments, and when they need new instruments, they buy them and finance them. And so we have to fundraise because instruments are not cheap.
Mm.
No. Oh, Andrew's tired.
I am very tired.
So
my social battery is zero, which is why I'm finding it hard to be social with Mum,
yes,
who has the personality of eight people.
Oh, great. Thank you. So it's been an interesting conversation for Andrew and I, because I don't know much about brass bands, and Andrew knows quite a bit now. And
I do a lot of Googling.
He does a lot of Googling.
I've spent 20 minutes on Wikipedia this year, but it might not seem like a lot, and it is, because that's signed in reading on the app.
Yes.
I've spent at least a day reading Wikipedia over the past year.
And that's good. And it's brought you up. And it's an area that I'm a little ignorant at accepting. I go, oh, why? Because everyone's really excited about going to Nationals next year, which I'm excited about. But people are really excited about doing the march, which is an important part of the brass band. And I'm like, why are brass bands so keen on marching? And marching has always been something. And there is a real precision to learning marching. And so today's conversation is about, why is marching so big for brass bands?
There's a real skill to learning marching. And you know what that skill is?
Walking, breathing.
Not playing tuba.
Oh, it's so hard to march, breathe. It's hard enough to walk and breathe, but to march and breathe and not fall over and play and read your notes and play your notes. And
do you just hold your breath while you walk normally?
Well, no, but you're trying to. I have to take my glasses off to read my music because my progressive lenses make it hard. I can't read them. It's too close to my face. And I could memorize it, but I can't remember anything. So I'm in a situation and trying to march shoulder to shoulder and watching the person in front so that you're going at the same speed and you're all starting on the left leg. So confusing.
Womp womp, Mrs. Cornet player.
Oh, yeah, I'm lucky. I'm playing a cornet. But I was like, this is a good topic for conversation. Why is marching so important to the brass band?
Because it's tradition.
Yeah, so we talked about this. Andrew said it's tradition. So tell us a bit about the White's tradition, Andrew.
Because do you know how a brass band started?
No, tell me.
Well, you do know the answer because I've told you. But brass band started, well, brass bands in New Zealand at least, started with the army.
Yeah.
The only brass bands in New Zealand back in before the 1930s were army bands, garrison bands of players that, you know, would have come from England,
yep,
who were just regular working class people and eventually joined the army and got sent over here.
Yeah. So you're right, it is. It's the tradition of marching stems from the traditional marching military history. And on my little fact sheet, which you knew I'd do some fact checking here, bugles and drums were used to convey commands, to get the troops on board with what's happening, maintain morale, because, you know, if you're in
Ma, vibrate.
Sorry.
Who was it?
Your brother.
Oh.
Well,
you can ignore that, it's fine.
Sorry about that. I'll just sort that out. My apologies, everybody. I'm not normally this bad. Andrew will say I am, but I'm not.
You are.
And direct troop movement. We talk about the last post. We talk about the first post. We talk about the reveille, which is the first post, isn't it?
Yeah, the boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
No, I wasn't talking about that. and then later on, after the military bands, civilian bands were formed later and mentored by the military veterans.
Yeah.
So that gives the link between brass and marching. And I thought it was really interesting because it also talks historically that brass bands are the primary source of music performed in town squares and parades and various community events. And so the march is the classical musical form for that purpose, like the symphonies are for concert halls.
And rich people.
Well, yeah, but it yeah. Doesn't say that here in my notes. So it makes sense that if you're outside and you're moving around, you create a march because that's how you move people around. Whereas if you're in a concert hall, you're listening to a symphony.
And also when it comes to the army marching, most of the time they'll just have a guy yelling at you. But on occasions there's a brass band.
Yes.
Either at the front or the back. I don't know which. The band's meant to keep them in time because if you listen to marches, it's rigid in time.
Yes.
And it's not because the music has to be. It's because the soldiers listen to the music, and that's what keeps them walking in formation.
Yes, and you find yourself when you are marching that you listen to the bass drum and you find that your feet are moving in time to that bass drum. And you can do that without having to think too hard. Your brain just sort of goes, oh, left foot, left foot, left foot, like that, and you just keep going. And yeah. It keeps the speed of the group going. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And then I was reading a bit more, so it has these military ties, but then later on it makes sense that brass instruments are marching instruments because they're more robust and easier to carry. Imagine if you're walking around with a bassoon or a double bass or a cello.
Fun fact, bassoonists sit on their instrument. Well, no, the bassoon has a strap that comes out from underneath it that you sit on to stop it from falling down.
Oh.
So you don't have to, so your thumb isn't the one holding it up like a clarinet or saxophone.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Also, it's...
Or a cello, can't play a cello while walking.
No, and in weather, brass instruments aren't affected by the rain, but a piano would be.
Well, Mum, can you please explain to me how you'd march with a piano?
On the back of a truck.
People do that anyway.
Yes, but you can march with all of these instruments, but you can't march in the rain, but you could march in the rain with brass instruments.
Yeah, a Candyman could walk in the rain as well. But, well. No, I just think that's funny because We've meant to play marches that have been cancelled because of the rain.
I know. It's miserable. But I guess the whole thing is it's portable. You can move it around. And then if you're out there walking along and suddenly the clouds open and the rain bursts down, it doesn't matter. We don't have to run as fast as we can for cover because we're not carrying violins that are wood or bassoons
that
or,
are wood.
Yeah, or clarinets or those things that would need
things
damaged.
Cloth.
Yeah, damaged if they got in the rain. And the other thing too is brass bands is that they're loud.
They are.
You don't have to worry about amping them. The sound carries well in the open air. We noticed that last night when we were Christmas caroling outside New World.
Yeah.
And we sounded far better on the other side of the car park.
Yeah.
So distance definitely helps the brass band. And the sound travels across. We notice that too when we're caroling, people come out because they can hear us even when we're quite a distance away.
And that also probably has to do with the fact that cornets and trombones, their bells are pointed straight forward.
Yes.
At the people you're walking towards.
That's right.
Whereas tubas and horns go straight up.
That's right. And so, again, they're ideal for outdoor performances or marching in large stadiums, whereas woodwind instruments aren't so well heard.
The thing I find interesting is there are marching tubas,
yes,
but they're not used in brass bands or traditional brass band marching tubas. They're used in American marching bands.
Yes, and I also think you find that those marching tubas are significantly smaller.
They are.
I think they're more like a euphonium.
Well, there's marching tubas and there's contrabass bugles. Contrabass bugle is a B-flat bass that is smaller and sits on your shoulder. And a marching tuba has the bell pointed forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it has its bell is removable as well.
Oh, okay.
A marching tuba is a sousaphone.
Yes.
But that's a different type of marching tuba.
Yes. So that one, yeah. You've got to watch the sousaphone though, because in winds or low foliage, the sousaphone can become a hazard.
Yeah. It's not also built for big people.
No.
It's funnily enough because that's the type of people that play tuba.
I know, it's funny. The other thing too around marching bands is the culturally significant and like tradition. So it's very much a tradition in the UK, parts of Europe, and the US with their marching bands. But their marching bands in the US are quite different to our marching bands.
They're usually sports games.
Yes.
And they don't play brass music. They play brass versions of pop music.
Yes, and they're
they have mellow horns. So it's a marching orchestra, a marching concert band, because they have saxophones.
They
as
do,
well.
And they have clarinets and all that, so they have a lot more. And it also says that the musical style, so the sound of the martial sound of the is more suited to a brass band music. So the fact that we've got that military sound makes it more suited. And this is the other thing I learned about brass bands, because we're always getting ready for a competition.
Or a concert.
But in this case, always getting ready for the next competition. We run on these competition cycles. And in these marches, we've kind of been lucky, I feel, because I'm not a great marcher and I don't like marching. I don't mind playing marches, but I don't like to march. And the last couple of times, it's weather has affected and we've had to march.
Or we've just done marches at the halt.
Because it's too hard to, it's too expensive to shut off streets.
Especially the square.
A square. So we've had to do our marches at the halt, which is just a march standing. And I noticed at the last Central Districts competitions we did, the marches, some of the bands, more traditional bands, did it in marching formation. We just stood in a half circle.
Yeah. One thing I found funny is at Central Districts, we did it in the Spears Centre, and I heard a person say two things. It's not a march because they're not marching, and it's not a march because the tubas are sitting.
Yes.
And first of all, it's called a march at the halt, so you're
standing still.
Yeah. And second of all, well, mate, you try and play a B-flat bass.
Exactly. But interesting enough, because we're going to Nationals next year, and we've started a bit of marching practice, and marches are used in the brass band competition as core musical form that helps players develop technique and ensemble skills. And I have to admit, since playing in the Palmerston North Brass Band, And all this Christmas caroling that we've been doing over the years, my ensemble skills have certainly improved significantly.
I was going to disagree with you because marching, well, you, technique's not going to improve with marching because you're just trying to get through it. No, playing marches, it's just the actual physical act of marching comes along with those marches.
Yes, and I can be as reluctant as I want to because I really don't want to march anywhere.
You could use the old lady card.
I could. But actually, by going through this whole process, I can see how it improved me as a player because I've got to get used to moving with my instrument, which is a whole new skill. Endurance, because marching, you have to keep playing pretty much until you finish the march. Whereas in a concert, you play the song a couple of times, you go, well, that's over.
Yeah.
You know when the end is coming. When you're marching, you don't know how long it's going to take you to march. You don't know how fast it's going to go, how slow it is, how many times you have to play that piece of music through.
Yeah.
And marching and walking and breathing, we use a lot of oxygen and breathing when we sit and play. Then we have to walk and play, really ups the amount of oxygen we're having to use. It's really quite a challenge.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do it, even with the baby B flat.
I think you might just have to say, this mightn't.
No,
this might
no I'm going to do it.
You're going to try. And then you might just have to step out.
Mm.
Even if you march a certain amount up the square and then just stop and then maybe join us on the other side or something. But I don't think you should push yourself too much because it's actually real hard.
Yeah.
And that's just being honest. So, yeah. Again, I'm not raised in the brass band families, and part of my reluctance as a teenager to join the brass band, because it was one of the things we were told at high school, you could join, you could play cornet, and you can join the, in our case, it was the Piarco brass band, or you could play your trumpet.
And join the Waikato Secondary School Symphonic.
I didn't want to play brass band music. I didn't really know what brass band music was, but I had in my head this whole military-style march.
Well, for the 80s, you weren't wrong.
Yeah, and I just wasn't. I was like, no. I far preferred wanting to go down the classical music genre. But interesting enough, because I talked with a good friend of mine from brass band, and she's been raised in the brass band
culture.
Shout
out, Chrissy.
Shout out, Chrissy. And she's raised as a child in the brass band community. And
her dad was the musical director of the local brass band.
Yes. And a lot of the culture that comes from the brass band, she's explained to me from being a
brass
part
band.
Of brass.
Brass band.
Stop making fun of me. Of the brass band has come from her upraising within the brass band. And even though it's more, there are more women now playing in brass bands, it's always been more of a male-dominated, can I call it a sport?
Yeah. And that comes from tradition as well, because women didn't work in the coal mines and women didn't serve in the military.
Yes, and I remember one of the stories Chrissy told me about was before she was allowed to join the brass band, her father told everybody they had to
stop smoking
and swearing around her.
Yeah, and he cleaned up the band.
And they but she would also go home at the end, you know, like 9 o'clock, and they used to stay afterwards, and that was their socialising. So she wasn't allowed to see that side of it. But, yeah, it's just a little bit of something different that I was never aware of.
Yeah.
So marching is very much, and those people raised in the brass bands love their marching.
Well, no, they don't. Chrissy doesn't love marching.
She knows how to march.
She knows how to march, but she doesn't like it.
No, but she'll do it because that's part of being in a brass band.
Oh, yeah, you'll do it.
We'll do it. But I would prefer to be on the back of the truck this coming Sunday for the Christmas parade because I like being on the back of the truck, holding on with your feet for dear life as you go around the corners and over the bumps. That's hard enough to play on the back of a truck. But to actually have to march.
If I wanted to be fit and be a good tuba player, I'd join the army band.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. But well, if you enjoyed this episode.
Have we come to the end already?
Yeah. You know what to do. I don't have to say it.
Yeah, you do.
All right. You can do blee, blah, blue, blah, blah, blee, blue, blue. And thank you all for listening. Bye.
Oh, come on.
You can go. I legitimately am trying to remember. You can listen to previous episodes on npr.nz/shows/fusion, or you can go to Spotify, search up Generation Fusion.
I believe in you, Andrew.
We hope that we are on your Spotify Wrapped.
Wrapped?
Yeah, Spotify Wrapped.
Okay.
The summary of your listening habits from the past year on Spotify.
Oh, okay.
Also, if you'd like to get some behind-the-scenes content, you can go to facebook.com and search up Generation Fusion, or you can go to Instagram and search up Generation Fusion. Also, if you'd like to help us continue to make content, continue to make better content, you can go to givealittle.co.nz/org/NPR and donate as little or as much as you feel like. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.